Star Market Celtics tonight continues from Staples Center in Los Angeles. Still, our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. Have you done any research into when we have to start paying taxes here?
Man. Yeah, it's time to go home.
I mean, yeah.
but I think, you know, obviously it's been good. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I thought we played with decent energy on Saturday night. Yesterday, a lot of guys went over and shot on their own. We had a good shoot around this morning. We know that we've got to play, you know, with great purpose and great effort tonight if we want to have a chance to win.
I want to go back to the part of the Laker game that was kind of interesting, and the media kind of, to their credit, they addressed it with you afterwards, which is the closing out of the quarters, which has been a problem throughout the course of the year. But you said that was a specific thing that you worked on going into the game. How did you do that?
You know what? My second year here, when we went on the road, we had a couple of, you know, days where we had flown. I remember flying to Portland one day and getting off the plane and having an opportunity to practice in the Moda Center. And we started playing minute and a half quarters just so that rather than playing a 6 minute straight of a scrimmage or a full court scrimmage where you want to get some guys that aren't playing as much some more reps or whatever, just so that we could play the end of quarter situations. So we actually played now minute quarters on Friday where we and subbed and played it almost like we would the game, and I thought it was really good. So it's not a ton of tax on the players that have played a lot. It gets everybody thinking about situations in the game, and it also allows us to do the end of the game situations because there's not much separation if you're just playing four total minutes.
There was a great quarterback coach out here at UCLA for years named Homer Drew, and he used to drill his quarterbacks on game, you know, time situation. All right, it's third and six. You just got tied. There's 54 seconds to go. Is it, and there's obviously we're talking about two for one stuff, things like that, just thinking through the final minute, right?
No question. I think the thing about two for ones that often gets missed is everybody knows when you get it with 38, you're trying to get a two for one. But when you get it with 52, try to hold for the two for one.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to, like, think about things like that, be able to do, make sure that everybody is on one page, on top of it, when we're trying to shoot, what we're trying to get, when we have a foul to give. You know, there's all kinds of things when we want to use the foul to give. You know, there's certain times where I don't think you should use it. And so I think that ultimately all those things are good to be able to work on. And it's better than, again, playing 12 or 15 minutes of live up and down, especially for the guys that are playing a lot.
Over the last several years, there's almost invariably been some drama is the wrong word, but is this guy going to be able to play? Is this guy not? And you realize for two full years here, it's never been Jason Tatum. This is the first time there's like a meaningful game in the middle of the season without him. I looked this up today. He's played 600 more minutes than anyone else on this team the last 2 years, if you include playoffs. So that's sort of a – I mean, obviously it's a radical change, and certainly you have depth, but it's just something you don't think about with a younger player, just how dependent and how many minutes he's played.
He really has played a ton of minutes, and, you know, I think it sounds like his shoulder's not too bad. Hopefully he'll be ready to play on Thursday, or at least, you know, we'll be able to do a little bit more in practice on Wednesday, but we'll see. But that factors into it, too. You know, just if he's sore, if there's any question at all, I think you look at the fact that he's played a lot of games already, and it's an opportunity for somebody else to have to step up. And so hopefully he's available by the end of the week, but if not, we'll keep plugging others in.
We saw the Clippers a month ago, and you were asked a lot, obviously, about that game and the big comeback for the Clippers. That was their first game after the trade deadline. But they have had a month now with this lineup, and defensively, they have been very, very good the whole stretch. We know about Patrick Beverley, who had a great game against Jason Tatum a month ago. How much of this, I mean, is this Zubats being a lot better than people realize, playing sort of an Aaron Baines role? Why have they been so good defensively for the last month?
Well, they always cover for each other, and, you know, a lot of people try to post Shamet. They try to post Lou Williams, try to post Beverly, which is a mistake. But then Harrell comes over and gets those guys out of there, and he's there so fast. And it's just an example of how they cover for one another. They have an understanding of where the biggest threats are. They have an understanding of what the other team's trying to accomplish, and they cover for each other. And then they expose you when they get a rebound. You know, they're very fast up the floor, and then excellent executing in the half court if they don't have anything on a leak out with one of their bigs or, you know, with Gilgeous-Alexander pushing it.
As the head coach, this is the 12th time you have coached against Doc Rivers. He has come back to Boston late every summer doing that the Hope Dreams fundraiser that you guys do together. You've gotten to know him better. A lot of us obviously know him well or very, very well, as it's some cases. Doc Rivers, the coach to coach against. Give me a characteristic of the teams now that you have coached against and where there is consistency that you can tell comes from him.
Well, I think, first of all, they've been good every year I've been here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when I first came into the league, they were loaded, you know, with Chris and Blake and J.J. and DeAndre all the way down the line. But now I'm not sure that I've ever seen a team of his, you know, seem to really be clicking. Now, we got blown out by a couple of those early teams, so I would say maybe at that time. But certainly in the last couple of years, I think that this team has a great connection. They're playing great together. He has done a great job, and you know he should be in the very small conversation for Coach of the Year, in my opinion.
Do you think your coach's shows one day will match up to his?
The coaches, radio shows.
Yes,
I would guess that. Hey, listen. You know, one of the things that's funny is everybody tells you never follow in footsteps when you have big shoes to fill, right?
Yeah.
So I took that advice and ignored it, which was stupid. And so, you know, I've had to follow Doc in a number of different ways. And the last thing that I'm going to try to, you know, outdo Doc in is in radio or TV. He is a much better personality than I am.
We've made it work, trust me.
Celtics. And a much better coach, which is, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, but we're more interested here in the entertainment value than the rest of it. That you guys can deal with the rest of it on your own. Celtics and Clippers next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.